Hey, it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
It's boom time in the Big Apple, and John McClane is about to have a very bad day.
He's a friend of yours?
He looked like a friend of mine. I think the dude just escaped from some hospital, you know? Like Bellevue.
I am the voice of my own God. And my God. And librarian that I had a bad headache, but she didn't believe me. I really do have a bad headache, though. I have a very bad headache that my head does not feel.
McClane is back, and this time it's personal.
You asking me to be a cop again, Will?
Ricky, get him his gun, all right?
You didn't answer my question.
Joe, this time they...
Hey!
When the theater goes dark, the roof blows off. Think fast, look alive, die hard with a vengeance. Up next... Only on the Geekcast Radio Network's Studio 2009.
You know where that park is at 115th Street in St. Nicholas?
Yeah, it's in Harlem.
Where do you think we found that bomb? Listen, this guy doesn't care about skin color. Even if you do.
What am I doing?
Cheer up, things could be worse. He's working on a nice fat suspension. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Come on.
Okay, they made it to the phone, but there's a problem.
Well, what do you mean? How big a problem?
Oh, about 300 pounds.
That's on it. And they're ma'am, probably going to end up having to get an operation.
We need this phone for official police.
Do you mind?
Honey, I'm a cop.
I'm
I need
sorry,
the phone right
I
now.
Get out the damn phone, lady. Police business.
I can get used to this.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. You already heard this intro, at least part of it. I am, of course, TF2 and Mike. This is Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. Joining me, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm going crazy, don't you know? That's
normal.
Around here at this point after 17 years, yeah, pretty much.
Or as Primal would say, sometimes crazy works.
I don't know how I'm going to make that work, but we'll try. Oh God, it didn't even change. Jesus, Mike. It's a good thing you don't see the scripts I use. Boy. Anyway, today in episode 143 of the podcast, we continue on in the Christmas in July. In July, vengeance grows there because it is Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1995, May 19th, 1995, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully I have that correct, because heaven forbid I have to correct myself again. Yes, May 19th, 1995, in theaters 30 years ago this year, Die Hard with a Vengeance. We are covering all five Die Hard films here in Christmas in July. I'm just going to say it hands down. This is my favorite of the five films. If I had to watch Die Hard on repeat, this would be the one I could watch on repeat. And nothing.
I was going to say, you don't want to watch Die Hard 5 as your favorite?
I've never seen it so far until we get to it, and nope. I don't know. Maybe Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia isn't exactly inspiring, but no, with a vengeance, I don't know if I saw this in theaters or not. I know I was 15 at the time when it came out. I know I saw a lot of movies in theaters in 95, but I don't remember if I saw this in theaters or not. And again, as we've done in the others, we are going to die hard as we can. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. No one dies harder than John McClane, saving all the passengers on the train, but Simon wasn't clear with his intentions. It was just a distraction. And there was no way McClane could know that Hans Gruber was Simon's bro, and that's what made it Die Hard with a Vengeance with Samuel Jackson. The good cop wouldn't miss this, even though it wasn't Christmas. Haha, not Christmas. Didn't get any help from Al, but only in part three, and we're going to die as hard as we can. So that's pretty much what this one is. And yeah, no, I don't know what it is about this one. I really like this one a lot. I like the addition of Zeus, Samuel Jackson's character. It's just like, and again, so the first three films. This is essentially John Wick before John Wick was John Wick, because even though the John Wick movies take place like a day or so apart from each other or whatever it is, I remember that off the top of my head, these movies, Die Harder and With a Vengeance, all take place a year apart from each other. Because they specifically say in this, it's been a year since John and Holly had their fight on the phone. He says that in this movie, because he then ends up leaving her on the pavement. Because at close to the end of the movie, he's like, "Yeah, just call her. Here's a quarter. Call somebody who cares." Yada yada yada. Calls her up on the payphone, asks the consuela or whatever the maid's name is, and. Is Holly there? Holly gets to the phone, and obviously that's the truck scene or something. John has to go and save the day, whatever else, and leaves Holly on the phone. He's like, "Oh crap, I left Holly on the phone." Zeus is like, "Yeah, just call her back."
I did find that funny that he said that to her.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I, watching this, I almost didn't have to watch it, but I knew I was going to anyway, because I just love this movie. And what I love about this movie is the distractions, the look this way so I can do this over here, the this, the that, the other thing. And then obviously it all boils down, because the Gruber family are just money grubbers. It's just a heist. It's just a this. It's just a
distraction.
Yeah, it's just the gold. They just want the money. Back in the 80s and 90s, when plots were simpler and they just wanted the money.
Well, I find it funny too that Simon didn't really care about hurting the kids. He used that as a distraction. Yep. He didn't really mm-hmm. care about, you know, anything. He just wanted to keep John McClane busy, and it felt like a fun grudge, because he was just like, "I don't like John McClane because he did kill my brother, but at the same time, I didn't like him much anyway."
Yeah.
And so he made it personal, but
yeah.
At the same time, at the end of the day, that wasn't his plot. He didn't care.
No, he didn't care. He didn't care at all. What are some of your thoughts on With a Vengeance?
I genuinely liked it. One, you get Sam Jackson.
Yep.
Who's awesome.
Yep.
but then you also get... You get John McClane in this weird situation. I find it funny that at the beginning of the movie, he's a drunk. They had to go fish him out.
Yep.
Just, you can tell the dude's had a hard life. He's like, he's lived through a lot of crap. He's just like, I'm just a mess. And he knew he was a mess.
Yep.
And then all of the crazy stuff that he ended up having to deal with, but
I think he played well off of Sam Jackson as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Just between the Zeus character trying to save him.
Yeah.
And he's like, call 911. I got to stop somebody from getting killed. At the beginning.
Yep.
And then Simon calls him the Samaritan. Yep, as they're going about. But I don't know. There was a lot here that made it different from the first two.
Yeah.
In a different and better way. Like, a lot of the explosions, a lot of the, you know, unrealistic things that happened between all three movies. The first was probably the most realistic out of the three. The second was kind of like out there. This one's just as much out there in some ways, but at the same time, you got an entirely different situation with the heist, getting away from the exploding ship.
Yeah.
There's no way they would have survived that. But again, like, it was unique. And so for that, like, I genuinely enjoyed what they did with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I noticed on the rewatches that we've been doing with the first three films is that the explosions at the end of every film, the rooftop explosion where John gets blown, not blown apart, but he gets blown back, the explosion where he's in the plane and he gets because he gets in the ejector seat and he gets blown out from there. And then the explosion in this, and I'm like, they're not all the same explosion, but they're all very similar looking explosions kind of thing. And I was like, they kind of matched it. Not really, but it was very, very interesting to see all of that. But yeah. And Jeremy Irons is a perfect foil as Hans's brother Simon. And they did the whole Simon Says thing, of course, because, you know, oh boy, I would hate it. That would be like, that's kind of like me with that stupid cereal.
Which one?
You know which one.
Do I?
Yeah, you do. Life. Oh, look, Mikey, he likes it. No, I don't. I've never liked Life. Blah. Blah. Not enough sugar. Anyway. but like, it's just like, oh, look, Simon Says. Oh, look, there's a game named Simon Says and this, that, and everything, everything else. But Jeremy Irons, man, like, this was I can safely say, looking at his filmography, this was the second time the first time I'd seen him on screen, but the second time I had heard his voice, because the first time I heard his voice was Scar. A year before as Scar in The Lion King. Oh no, Mufasa, it's you who should be afraid of whatever his line was at. And then I actually he was in Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, he's a wonderful actor. He's done a bunch of stuff. Kingdom of Heaven, Aragon. He was in the Pink Panther 2, I'm assuming, as the villain. I don't know.
Batman v Superman, Justice League.
Really?
He was Alfred.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's probably the best Alfred we've had in a while. No joke. Like, he legitimately, like, he actually was like working in the Batcave and like,
that's right.
Up with stuff. He was actually like that mentor and, you know, the one that you expected, kind of like the one from the animated series.
Yep.
He was very hands on.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. I'm looking at his TV credits to see if there was anything. Oh, yeah. Dr. Captain Jackson on two episodes of SVU for Law and Order. He was the bar rag on The Simpsons. He was the voice of the bar rag in two of the Simpsons episodes from years ago. But yeah, no, he just has that presence. And
oh, he's got that gravitas. He's like a lot of those actors that have that kind of specialized voice, that have that kind of certain tone that just kind of command it. You know, like almost like a Morgan Freeman.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. 100%. Absolutely love this guy. Yeah. I swear there was another movie I had seen him in that I absolutely love him in, and I can't find. I'm looking right at this. Like, I know I'm legally blind here, folks, but come on. No, I guess not. I don't know. And I mean, I don't think we really need to go down Samuel Jackson's filmography, but I will look at it just to cover our bases here. But I mean, I could probably read it off Mace Windu, the guy from the, who was it? It was, Unbroken, or is it Unbroken? Is that Unbreakable? That's Elijah Price, Mr. Glass. He was John Shaft in the 2000 version of that. But I mean, Samuel Jackson is Samuel Jackson. Pulp Fiction was in 94. I forgot he was in Jurassic Park. My buddy Dave Draper and I covered Jurassic Park a while ago here on the podcast.
But isn't that where he got his start?
No, he got his start on something called Together for Days in 72. That was his debut, where he got probably I don't know. This is up for debate, folks, but 1990, he was Stax Edwards in Goodfellas. So that would probably be the biggest debut for him, but he had stuff before that. But going forward after that, The Return of Superfly, Strictly Business, Jungle Fever, Patriot Games in 92, Menace to Society in 93, he was in Loaded Weapon 1. We should cover that. Have you ever seen Loaded Weapon 1?
It's been a long time, and I don't remember enough about it, but I love the National Lampoon films.
Yeah. It's an American parody film directed and co-written by Gene Quintana and starring Emilio Estevez, Samuel Jackson, Kathy Ireland. It's basically a spoof. But after Jurassic Park was Pulp Fiction, and then I had seen him after that, obviously here in With a Vengeance. After With a Vengeance, I had seen him in a movie I will be covering next year. I don't know who with, because I don't know who else is a fan of this movie besides me. 1996 is The Long Kiss Goodnight. It's an American action thriller film. It's another Rennie Harlan film. So Rennie directed Die Hard 2. It's with him and Gina Davis and a bunch of other people. And then 97, he was in Jackie Brown. He was in Out of Sight with Clooney in 98. Obviously, like I mentioned, Mace Windu in 99 in Star Wars Episode 1. He was in the Triple X movies with Diesel and all that. He was in SWAT from 2003, but I mean, Samuel Jackson is, and that dude is the most generous, awesome dude ever. Any interview, anything you ever see him do, you hear him talk about the philanthropy that he and his wife do. Oh my God. That dude gives away more money than anyone ever has in Hollywood ever.
What else I got on here? Many awards, obviously, big box office, you know all about that. Here's what you don't know. These are, and there's a few of them, the organizations that Samuel L. Jackson and his wife, LaTanya Jackson, give to. Alzheimer's Association, American Institute for Stuttering, American Red Cross, Artists for New South Africa, Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation, Black Economic Alliance, the Brain Trust, Cedars-Sinai, Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, Carousel of Hope, Children's Defense Fund, Desmond and somebody, Tutu, Legacy Foundation, Earth Island Foundation, the Hollywood Foundation for Autism and Parkinson's Disease, In a Perfect World Foundation, the Joseph Lowery Institute for Social Change, Magic Johnson Foundation, Spelman College, Morehouse College, NAACP, Legal Defense Fund, National Action Network, Kidney Foundation, Solutions Coalition, the Smithsonian, National Museum of African American History, Spelman College, United Negro College Fund, and the Urban League.
Denzel.
Mm,
there was something. There's a clip out there somewhere on Instagram or YouTube or something where Denzel Washington was given an award to Samuel Jackson, and Denzel was just listing the things that Sam and his wife give money away to for charities. And oh my God, just so amazing. Yeah, obviously I've had enough of these, you know, monkey snakes on this Monday to Friday plane. He was in Jumper, and then in 2008, you know, Mr. Stark, you know, he became Nick Fury in Iron Man, and he would go on to be Nick Fury throughout the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So just absolutely love Samuel Jackson, and like you said, the two of them playing off of each other in this Die Hard with a Vengeance, again, could not be made today.
Oh, heck no. But it was great. Like,
yeah, I mean, no, it was awesome. It was fun. It was, yeah. And that's why
I genuinely like those two anyway. And so, like, having them together, like, it's just, and they act again together later on in a couple of other movies.
Unbreakable, I think, is the one, the biggest one. Because I think Bruce plays the, because like I mentioned, Sam plays Mr. Glass. And Bruce plays the other guy. I forget what the other guy's name is. I saw like the first 30 minutes of Unbreakable, and it at the time when I saw it, I wasn't in the. This was years and years and years. This was like when it first came out. I wasn't really into it at the time, so you know, whatever. But I guess I'll have to go back and give it another chance at some point. But, he plays David Dunn, is Bruce's character in Unbreakable. But, yeah.
And then I think they both were in Unbreakable, too, weren't they?
Probably. Split, I think, is the sequel's name for...
Well, the movie, I think the Split was the second film, and then Glass was the third.
Right, yeah.
And I think he came back for Glass, although I don't know... a ton of it. I don't think I've seen the second or the third. I may have seen the third, but
David makes a cameo appearance in the 2016 Split where he visits a cafe, and 16 years later David has become a superhero vigilante named the Overseer in Glass. This is just me quickly scanning Wikipedia over the the appearances of David Dunn. I don't know if it's Bruce Willis or not in those films, because I'm just looking at the David Dunn character page. So I don't know if Bruce is in all three. What was your favorite scene in With a Vengeance?
Well, aside from the water, where they're at the water fountain, having to figure out the amount of water.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they were just making it way too complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, that was hilarious.
I mean, you get that, and then you get them, you know, going through the tunnel, and yeah.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, Bruce Willis is in Glass.
Yep.
He's on the cover.
Okay. Oh, it was in 2019. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's in both.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know McAvoy was in that. Okay.
Yeah, right. He played the crazy guy with 24 personalities.
Oh boy, I don't know if I can watch, like I said, I think I originally back in 2000 when Unbreakable came out, I think I made it 30 minutes into that film, and it was a little too, I was 20 years old at the time. It was a little too unhinged for me at that time in 2000. So I don't know if I would actually be able to make it through a triple feature of Unbreakable, Splits, Glass. So, I don't know. It's something I'll have to think about in the future. But yeah, Die Hard with a Vengeance. It's, like I said, up to now. Look, folks, you've already heard our first two Die Hard episodes. And I stand by what I said in both of those. And I stand by what I say in this one as well. But I'm going to say this. After watching 3 and 4, as standalone story movies featuring John McClane, I like 2, 3, and 4 better than I like the first one. I like the first one for what it is. I think the
first one grounds it, though.
Yeah, no, it does. It absolutely does, 100%. If there, and I said this in the first episode, and I said it in the second episode, and I'll say it here. If there was only one Die Hard, and they never made anything else, even if we didn't get the awesome film that we have here with a Vengeance, which would be a crime if we didn't get this, but if we never got this, and we only had one Die Hard, and it was a single story, and they never did any more, it would be an even better classic film than what it already is. But because it is so self-contained, and we only see that character have to act in that confined space, and we don't get to see him breathe. I'm not saying they're choking the character. I'm just saying we don't get to see his full potential as a New York City police officer or an LA police officer. Yes, I know technically he was a New York police officer in the first one. What I'm enjoying more out of seeing John McClane as a character and seeing Bruce Willis act as the character is getting to see him out in the world as the cop that he is. When we get to the next episode, he even says, I do this because he says something to the effect of, I do this because it's who I am, or it's something to that effect. He says it to Farrell. He says it to Mr. McIntosh over there. And I'm going to say that joke. Like, be prepared, dude. I'm going to make that joke like every 10 minutes in that episode. Because Justin Long. Hi, I'm a PC and I'm a Mac. Because that's all he was before Die Hard 4.
Anyway. I like the main movie I liked him in was Accepted.
I don't even think I've seen that.
It's a comedy movie, but he creates a college because he didn't get in it, called South Harmon Institute of Technology.
Oh, my God.
Spell the acronym.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, God.
It's funny, though. Yeah, sure it's a funny film. Yeah. And then, they have a comedian, like a guy that's kind of a washed up person taken over as like the dean of the fake school. So but yeah, anyways, I prefer, like, I do like this film overall better than the other two, so I do see where you're coming from with that. I do enjoy the first film from a realism standpoint. However, like, the second film in the first film, I kind of have to be in that mood to watch it. Like, the first film is good for what it is. This one is more fun in a lot of ways, like, as odd as that is with all the explosions and all the things going on. I mean, it's serious and it's grounded, but it's also, like, I don't know, more entertaining from just a shut your brain off rewatchability. And then I feel like the fourth one's kind of tied with the second in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But
so with a Vengeance, I can, like I mentioned with the first two films, they are not, like, they're rewatchable when I have, like, not when I have to rewatch them, but like, say somebody's like, hey, we're doing a Die Hard, blah, blah, blah. Would you like to, blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll watch the movie and whatever, yada, yada, yada. If anyone's asking me to be on any Die Hard podcast anytime soon, which is fine, whatever. But like I mentioned in the other episodes, I don't rewatch those to rewatch the movies. This, and I don't even rewatch, I don't even put them on for background noise. This movie, I'll put this movie on for background noise because this movie has a better soundtrack and it has a better sound for background to me than the other two, the previous two do. This movie starts out with Lovin' Spoonful's Summer in the City. Like, you can't not start your movie with that and think, oh, this is going to be a party pooper movie. This is going to be whatever. And, you know, I think, what has it got? Saints go marching in when they're doing all the load up for the gold and whatever at one point. So yeah, this to me has a better sound. Will I eventually use this as background noise? Most likely, probably not. But when I was watching this movie today, I was like, huh, okay, I can get with this movie. I can, you know, this would probably be something if I really was in the mood to have this on as background. It probably isn't going to be that, but it could be. It's in the running, whereas the other two aren't. But yeah, no, absolutely. I really enjoyed this rewatch. Every time I do rewatch this movie, I really do enjoy it. And like we said, the chemistry between Bruce and Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, is just Zeus and McClane, man. Just it's just so good.
I almost wish they would have gotten another outing like that. Oh, that should have been Die Hard 5.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things I would have wished for at the end of this movie and at the end of the next one. And none of what I would have wished for would have ended up being whatever the hell we actually got in 2013.
Agreed.
So, yeah. All right. Did the film keep your interest throughout? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Are we itching to watch the next film now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the next movie.
I like the next one, too.
Yeah, yeah. Would you recommend this film to people? Hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 0 to 5 with half points. What are you going to give with a vengeance? He's fighting his urge, folks, because Steve never gives fives. I'll probably give it a five because of those two. Yeah, it's a five.
And it's got Jeremy Irons. I mean,
yeah, you can't not give it a five.
I really like those three.
Yeah. Even the small, like, I was dreading, the one thing I was dreading because of how I know the man is today, the one thing I was dreading was the, oh no, that's the next movie. There's nothing in here. There's nothing in here. They even make it better. Like the back and forth between the two of them about the whole, all the racial stuff, like, they talk it out, make it a conversation, and they don't just judge each other. They don't just go off on each other. They don't just say, blah, 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 fuck you, and walk away, and yada, 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 blah, 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 and whatever, whatever. They actually sit there, and it's so good. So, yeah, fives all around. We are going to go to a quick ad break. We're going to come back to close the show right after this.
This, gentlemen, as they say, is where the plot thickens.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at GeekCastRadio.com and YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com.
Are you in need of what the heck did I just listen to? Are you in need of a laugh at the expense of the internet? Boy, do I have a treat for you. Here at Lyrically Audacious, we turn just about anything into music. Visit us now at YouTube.com/@LyricallyAudacious, all one word. So swing by, have a laugh. Stay lyrical, stay audacious, here at Lyrically Audacious.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast, Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42. Which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com. At iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week, we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Imagine a podcast that celebrates the things we love.
Why spend time being so angry and cynical about our fandoms? Join me, the Irredeemable Shag, for a show where we're just trying to be happy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast. Our discussions focus on a variety of geeky subjects that we're passionate about. While the topics will be ever-changing, our focus will be on science fiction, comic books, what it means to be a geek in this world, and other nostalgia-fueled ideas. Life is short. Focus on the positive. Find your joy. The Once Upon a Geek Podcast, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Hi there, Boss fans. My name is Jesse Jackson, and I'm the host of Set Lusting Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. For the past decade, my guests and I have shared heartfelt conversations, unforgettable fan stories, and deep dives into the lyrics that have shaped our lives. From the passionate debates over sways and waves, deciding on if Mary gets in the car or not, to deep dives from Greetings to Letter to You. We've covered it all because Springsteen isn't just music. He is a great companion on this part of the ride. So grab your suitcase and your ticket, put on your favorite Springsteen t-shirt, and join me for our 10th anniversary year. Set Lusting Bruce, 10 years strong and still making our way to the land of hope and dreams.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car, car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
We are back here inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. We have died hard with a vengeance. That's right, folks. All right. Episode 143 in the books. We are almost done with the Christmas in July here Cast Radio Network. Any final thoughts about With a Vengeance, sir? Any other things you'd like to say? Any promotions you want to do? Anything?
No.
Usually he talks so I can take a drink, but apparently not.
Well, I can mention that, you know, I do have a podcasting book coming out.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping you were going to mention, Mr. Altered Audio. I'm going to alter your audio.
Yeah, so I mean, I have that coming out next month, actually. So
what date? Where can people get it? How much is it going to cost? Like, give us the...
I like to be a problem.
You've been doing this for 20 fucking years. I really have to explain. I have to explain this shit to you?
No, I like to be a problem. Specifically for you.
Yeah.
No, it's coming out on August 8th. And it's going to be on Amazon, on Kindle, on Barnes & Noble. And I'm working on getting it into like distribution platforms so that it can get into like libraries or actually physical bookstores for order. And the book will be $15.99 for the physical edition and $9.99 for the digital.
So here's the actual good, interesting question. When's the audio version coming?
Yeah, you know, you're the second person that said that to me in the last week.
I mean, if we could get that shit on Audible, you'd make tons of bank right there. Actually, you need to contact Audible to make it an Audible original. That would be fucking amazing for you.
I probably could.
Do it now.
I actually thought about that earlier because somebody was like, hey, when are you going to do blah, blah, blah? And it was like in a forum. And then I had somebody physically ask me.
Yep, you should do it.
Actually, you make number three.
I triple dog dare you. You can't undo dare. You got to do it.
I can.
Got to do it. No, you can't. You can't undo a triple dog dare. Once you stick your tongue to that pole, it's stuck. Anyway, Thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. We also have a brand new fourth wall store where you can buy all of our stuff. Visit shop.geekcastradio.com. We've got t-shirts up to 4XL. It needs to go up to 6XL. Get on that fourth wall. Buy mugs and other stuff as well. I don't know what's over there, but mugs and glass pop cans and other stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff. We add stuff weekly, monthly, daily, hourly, whenever. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here's a tip, folks. Send an email once a day, every day, with the subject line, altered audio, audiobook, exclusive to Audible, until Steve actually calls Audible or sends them an email. Well, I triple dog dare you.
They actually have a publisher thing where you do it yourself.
I understand that.
They ain't going to pay me.
They should pay you.
Maybe.
Anyway, pay me. That's right. Pay me. Pay him. Feedback@geekcastradio.com for that email to send us any email. You can catch us on all the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio for the network @itstudio2009. I am @TF2 and Mike. What is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
You can also become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. And also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Join us next time when Steve and I will be living free or dying hard. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
God damn cellular fucking phones!